Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you that you are a rewarder of faith that seeks your face, Lord. And we want to understand, O God, what it is you mean to reward us with, Lord. What it is that you are telling us, O God, in the scriptures, Father. Let's open our hearts today that we will come to understand, O God, what is your reward to the church, Lord. What is your reward to each one of us? What is it that you want us to realize and express through our lives? What is it you want to bring forth as a reward of our faith in you? So bless us with this word, Father. We ask this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask this in the reality of his faith and his love for us, Lord. We ask you to open our hearts that we will understand, O God, that, Lord, you will always, O God, give us an answer to prayer, Lord. Even if that answer is no, it is an important answer, Lord. Enable us to understand that you will reward our faith, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1 first. I'm using the King James Bible. I'm also going to use the New American Standard. I'm using the New King James and I'm using the New American Standard. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is substance of hope and the evidence of the unseen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Rhema of God, so that the things which are seen were not made up of things which are visible. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Two important things that come out in verse 6 are this: that faith is based on who God is, and faith is based on the reality of us willing to seek God diligently. So it is God who is the basis of faith. And what God wants to do in our life through faith is to reward us. To reward us. Today we want to talk about what it is God wants to reward us with. The first thing I want you to see is that God does reward us in the things we do every day. And God does work in our lives on an everyday basis. And you can pray for anything and everything in your life and expect God to move in those circumstances and situations of your life. I call those the transitory realities in which we live. Those things that are bounded by space and time. You need a new job, God gives you a new job. That new job is going to last for a time and a season. It is not going to be there forever. Therefore, it is transitory in nature. You want your child to get married to the right person, and you pray for that, and that marriage is going to be transitory in a period of time and space. And so you must understand those are transitory realities. But today I want to talk about the abiding. And the reason I want to talk about the abiding is because faith is substance. And I want you to understand that what God wants to reward us in is in the substance. So while God answers you in the transitory, what he is trying to build inside of you is in the abiding. So the substance of your faith is what is manifested inside of you. It becomes part and parcel of your being. The things outside of you are there for a time and a season, and those things will pass away. But the things that God manifests inside of you in substance, those things, that remains in you. And what God brings in substance inside of you is what God is really interested in, because that is his true reward. So God can give you a new car. Yes, God can give you a new house. God can give you a new opportunity in your life, in your career, whatever it is. But that is on the outside. But what is on the inside is what God is building inside of you in substance. Now this substance, or the Greek word hypostasis, this substance is the means by which you are to measure your growth in your faith. All right. This substance is going to be the basis on which God writes covenant with you. I want to talk about that. This substance is the substance of covenant. And God wants to write covenant with you personally. And every Christian has to understand that God wants to write covenant into your heart. And the whole purpose of faith is to facilitate this covenant from coming alive to you. All right? Verse 2. Verse 2 of Hebrews 11 tells us something that reflects this. For by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. That good testimony is the basis in which God writes covenant inside of you. As you realize things in God, God starts forming the covenant inside of you. Now, the covenant with God, it's not just a mere theology. The covenant with God is something in the eternal. God will continue to write covenant in your heart forever. God will continue to write covenant in your heart forever. So it is your duty to discover and realize this covenant that God has for you. It is not based on somebody else. It is based on you and God. And God wants to fashion and form you and unveil you in a covenant with Him that is going to be uniquely expressed in your life. That's what it means for you to be a Christian. That's what it means for you to be called a son unto God. And the reward God has for faith in the abiding is this covenant. Because this covenant is an oath. This covenant is an oath that God has sworn in Jesus Christ. Let me first come back to the basic reality of God wanting to write covenant with you, okay? Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 31 verse 18. These are verses we have done before. I just want to go through them very quickly so that you understand where we are coming from. Right? Exodus chapter 31 verse 18. And when he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written by the finger of God. And what happened to these tablets of stone, which were the testimony of God? They were put in the Ark of Covenant, and they became the basis on which God was going to form covenant with his people. He said, if you keep the testimony of my law, you will be to me a covenant people, and I will reward you. I will bless you. You will be the head and not the tail. Right? You will be above and you will not be beneath. I will bless you in your family. I will bless you in the fruit of your womb. I'll bless you in the country. I'll bless you in the city. I will bless you in your going out, and I'll bless you in your coming in. You must understand that all of those blessings were based on a covenant that God was willing to make with them based on the law. The Old Testament tells us this. The New Testament brings a new reality inside of us. It is not the same thing. All right? But God does make some important points here under the law that we need to understand. Let's turn to Exodus 32, verse 15 and 16. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. Tablets which were written on both sides, they were written on one side and the other. And the tablets were God's work. And the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now when we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3. Like I said, we've done these scriptures before, so I'm going to go through it very quickly. Right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3. God tells us that you are a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. That comes in the New American Standard. If you look at the New King James, it says human hearts, fleshly tablets of the human heart. So they are human hearts of flesh. All right? Human hearts of flesh. So it becomes personal to you. And God is fashioning and forming inside of you what he has for you. Now, is this covenant? Yes, it is. Because that's what the prophet Jeremiah announced in Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Verse 31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall not teach again each man his brother, and each man his neighbor, and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. Now that knowing of God is a covenant reality. It is an intimacy built on the basis of covenant. And that covenant was going to be written into the hearts of the people. So as sons of God, as those who have been purchased in the blood of the Lamb, covenant is being made in each one of our lives. Covenant is being fashioned in our hearts. God wants to write something into your heart that is His workmanship. He's going to manifest it in a heart of flesh, and that heart of flesh is what the substance of faith is all about. Are you with me? So that's why God says, if you come to me in faith, you have to come to me on the basis that you believe that I am. That you are willing to diligently seek me. Right? So he becomes the focus, right, of your faith. So that the substance of your faith will be of the Lord your God. Are you with me? So that heart of flesh is of the fullness of Christ Jesus. Because God reveals himself to us through Christ Jesus. And so that reward that God is talking about is what he is building into your heart. Heart of flesh that is being manifested in the substance that is of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? And to confirm that, let's look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. So we become partakers of Christ. And becoming partakers of Christ results in a confidence. Now that word confidence there is hypostasis. Right? So that confidence is of the substance. Are you with me? But that confidence is of the substance that is of Jesus Christ, which is why Hebrews 3:14 says that you have to become a partaker of Christ in order to have that confidence. Are you with me? If you're not a partaker of Christ, you cannot have that kind of confidence inside of your heart. That hypostasis has to be, right, a confidence that is of the reality of you and me partaking of Christ. It has to be in a heart of flesh. And that flesh is of the substance of Jesus Christ, His fullness. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the Most High God. Because God is manifesting to Himself to us through Jesus Christ on a subordinate plane. This does not make us gods, okay? This makes us sons of God. That's why Jesus was called the Son of God and the Son of Man. Because the intent of manifesting Jesus the Son is so that the sons of men could become sons of God. Now the sons of God are not God, okay? The sons of God are on a dependent plane on God. They derive all things from God. And they derive all things based on what God fashions and forms in their heart. Right? In the flesh of the Lamb, which is the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Can you catch that? And this is a personal work that God is building inside of you and me. That is His reward. That is the reward He wants you to realize, because the Bible says in John chapter 14 verse 12 that you can ask anything in the name of Jesus and it will be done for you, it will be given to you. Let's look at that. Right? John chapter 14. John chapter 14 verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. That I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Why does he say, I will do it? Why not you will do it? Because what God wants you to realize is the ability to do all things in and by and through Jesus Christ. So how is Jesus Christ going to be manifested in you? Through this substance. Because the substance is of him. Alright? Let's turn to John 17, verse 26. John 17, verse 26. And I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. So how is Jesus going to be alive in us? By substance and by witness as well. We have done this teaching on witness, right? 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He who believes in Jesus Christ has the witness within himself. So that witness within us is in witness and in substance. And it's a manifestation of Christ in us. A manifestation of Christ in us in the name of Jesus. So the name Jesus is what is meant by the first sentence in John 17, verse 26. I have made thy name known to them. How does the name of God become known to us? The name of God is holy. The name of God is perfect. The name of God cannot be defiled. So the name of God can only be communicated in the substance and witness of Jesus Christ. Can you understand that? So Jesus is the manifested name of God. So John 17, verse 6, Jesus says, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. I manifested thy name. Why does he use the word in the past tense? Because that is the will of God. Jesus came so that he could manifest the name of God to us. So John 1:16 says, of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. The fullness comes to us, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, and what happened under the law? We were all condemned to death. Because the law judges us and tells us, you are a sinner. The wages of sin is death. So, but John chapter 1 verse 17 says, right, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Were realized. So Jesus says, I manifested thy name to the ones you gave me out of the world. That means it is the will of God. What is the will of God? To make covenant with you and me. To make covenant, right, in what is to be fashioned in us in substance. And that substance has a witness. So faith is a substance of hope, the evidence. The evidence is that witness. And the evidence that is the abiding is the ability, the reward that is the abiding, the evidence that is the abiding is what you see and know and have in God. Can you see that? What is the reward God is saying to you? If you ask anything in the name of Jesus, it will be done for you, it will be given to you. Anything. Is that a reward or what? Yeah, is that a reward or what? Now, all of us are entitled to this reward. We are entitled to this reward because of his fullness we have all received. Grace upon grace. It is not by merit, it is by grace. All of us have received it. And we have to teach people to get into that covenant, right? Because we can't live by cars and houses and new jobs. Those things will all pass away. They all only have an application in space and time. Now, there's nothing wrong in realizing God's blessings in having a nice house and a nice car and a nice job, a good ministry, a solid ministry, things like that. But the substance of it in your heart has to be of God. Otherwise, right, nothing will be left after you go through your life. Right? If you just focus on God and look at him as a Santa Claus who is going to give you presents, then you have seen what children do with presents during Christmas. Right? They dissect the presents, and those presents don't work after some time. right? Even if they don't do that and they keep the present intact, it loses its relevance over time. You can't have a 20-year-old girl playing with a doll, can you? Right? It loses its relevance. Are you with me? So you ask God to bless you so that you will be a fine sportsman, but you can only be a fine sportsman for a period of time. So what happens after that? So through death, God is teaching us a lesson that the things that are transitory will pass away, that you cannot build life based on the transitory because it dies. But you can build life in the abiding. And what God wants to build life in the abiding is to build it through a covenant. Through a covenant He's going to personally write into your heart. Amen. And everything in the scripture is open to us according to the calling that God has upon our life. All right? And you have to realize the covenant that will unfold and define that calling so that you can realize the blessings of God in your life on an abiding basis. Praise the Lord. Can you see that? So that is the reward that God is talking about. And it's an awesome and very powerful reward because it blesses you in all eternity. It blesses you in all eternity, right? So you have a purpose in eternity, and that purpose in eternity is God's reward for you. What is salvation? Eternal life. What do you want to have eternal life for? What are you going to do with it? Sit on a cloud and play a harp? Hello? Obviously there has to be purpose. And God has to define that purpose. Now that purpose is part of His covenant with you. Obviously, you must have healing in your body because you must have a body that will not decay. So that is also part of the covenant. God has to raise you up from the dead and manifest you as a new creation. That is part of the covenant. But all of these things have to be written into your heart. Are there things God has written into your heart today? Yes. You know that you are saved. Right? Why do you know that you are saved? Because God has manifested the evidence of that in your heart. He has written something inside of you that you can know in yourself that it is of God. Are you with me? Can you see that? Can you understand that? So as you learn how to walk into the things of God by what you discern in your heart, you will begin to see that your faith grows. Your faith starts becoming perfected and completed inside of you, and it also starts growing inside of you. What is the growth represented by? It is represented by substance. And that substance is personal to you. It becomes part of you. It becomes God's creative reality in your life. So Ephesians 2:10 says that you are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Does anyone here know what a good work is? Does anyone here know what the word good means? Which one of us here is good? So who is good? Jesus is good. So in order for the goodness of Jesus Christ to be manifested in us, God has to fashion the covenant in His substance. If God fashions the covenant in your substance and my substance, we will never realize what the word good is because we are not good people. Correct? God has to manifest something that is of the character and nature of Jesus Christ. God has to manifest something of the witness and testimony of Jesus Christ. That's why the tablets were said to be the tablets of the testimony. So God wants our heart, right, to be the tablets of the testimony of Jesus. So that then God could write covenant in that heart because that heart is of Jesus Christ. Can you see that? And that's why you must understand, right? Growing in God is not based on what you are today. It is based on what God is going to make you become. That's why, right? When you're called into the ministry, it is not based on what you are in your natural self. It is based on what God is going to fashion and form inside of you. So in your natural self, you may be afraid to speak in front of people. You may stumble and you may stutter and all those kind of things. And you say, how on earth can someone like me become a preacher man? And you got to understand fundamentally, it's got nothing to do with whether you stammer or you stutter, or whether you're fat and you're round, or whether you're green or you're blue in color, or whether you've got 9 degrees or no degrees behind your name. It's got nothing to do with that. It's entirely based on the substance of Jesus Christ that God will manifest in you in order to bring forth that revelation of your calling. And you have to walk into that calling based on faith, on the hope that you have in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the one who is called out. He is the apostle and high priest of whose confession? Your confession. Why apostle? Because the apostle lays the foundations of what God has called forth in your life and my life. Confession, why? Because it is what you say that is the word of God. Because the word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. And Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of your faith. Why has he got to be the author and the finisher of your faith? Because that faith has to be authored and completed in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, it will not stand the test of time. It will die like everything else we know in our natural selves. Everything that is of you and me dies, guys. But everything that is of Jesus Christ lives forever. Amen. We want rewards that stand forever. We don't want rewards that are blessings for 10 years and then it's all gone. What for? Don't get me wrong. You need to be blessed in the period of 10 years because there is a purpose in the transitory as well. You have to fulfill a purpose in the transitory. But the purpose that you are fulfilling in the transitory is of the abiding. Can you understand that? What do I mean by that? All right, you need to have a job in order to put bread on the table to feed your family. If you don't do that, you will die. Not only you will die, your family will also die. Now, if you die in the transitory, you're not going to fulfill the abiding, because you will not realize what God has purposed in your life, correct? And so you must understand there is a place for the transitory. And you have to exercise faith in the transitory, in the things you do every day, right? But you must understand that what you exercise in the transitory must be of the substance that is of the abiding. Because if what is of the transitory and the substance is of the transitory, you will die, it will also die, you will also die. But if you do what you do in the transitory with that which is abiding in the substance of Jesus Christ within you, the transitory will pass away, but the abiding will remain. Can you see that? What is abiding inside of you? Your soul and your spirit. But your soul and your spirit must be built in the substance of Jesus Christ, and the substance of Jesus Christ is eternal. So Jesus says, I am the life. Why does he say, I am the life? Because eternal life is entirely of him. You and I cannot live eternally. That which is of Jesus Christ will live eternally. So how does God manifest eternal life into us? He plants the seed of Christ inside of us, and lo and behold, we know we will live. No matter how imperfect we are, because of the seed of Christ inside of us that has blossomed and grown, we will know we have a life ahead of us. Are you with me? Can you understand that? Right? But that life is entirely based on what God has given us in Jesus Christ. It is not based on what you and I have inherently in our natural self. Can you see that? Right? That's why Paul says, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. Right? Because all that is of the abiding that you and I need is of Christ. If it's of us, it will die. So if you have a ministry in the Lord, you have to learn to build that ministry in the witness of that which is abiding. You must communicate Jesus Christ into people's life. If you just communicate the principle cannot save people. You have to demonstrate that principle in the spirit and life of Jesus. You have to demonstrate that principle in the substance of Jesus Christ, because otherwise the principle will just vanish. It is like telling you, be a good guy. You don't even know what the word good means. How are you going to be a good guy? Right? You're just telling a guy, don't smoke. So if he stops smoking, he becomes a good guy. If you can become a good guy by just stop smoking, then why did Jesus have to come and die for you? You understand what I'm saying? If you and I can become good guys based on our efforts, then why did Jesus come? You understand what I'm saying? If the substance is not of him, there is no such thing as good. So when the rich young man came before Jesus and he said, what must I do to have eternal life? Right? What did Jesus take him to? He took him to the law, right? And what did the young man very blithely say? I've observed all these things in the law. And the immediate thing Jesus said after that was that, go and sell everything and come and follow me. Right? Why? Because the law demanded that you love me with all of your heart, soul, mind and strength. So Jesus just went straight to the crux of it and said, young man, go and sell everything, come follow me. And the young man walked away, correct? So the disciples turned around and said, if this is the criteria for the kingdom of God, oh God, who is going to come inside the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, with man it is impossible. What is the word? Impossible. Impossible means not possible at all, under any situation or circumstance. Correct? Right? So, but with God, all things are possible. Correct? So how is God doing what is impossible to you and me? He's bringing it forth in the substance of Jesus Christ. Can you be a good guy? Yes, as long as you set your hope on Jesus. If you set your hope on Jesus, your faith will be of the substance of Jesus. If your faith is of the substance of Jesus, is it good or bad? It's perfect. So when you were born again, what did God do? He took something of the substance of Jesus and planted it as a seed inside of you. And lo and behold, a new reality opened inside of you. Suddenly you wanted to do the things of God. Suddenly you wanted to hear the word of God. Suddenly you were interested in the fact of what God was doing. Amen. Now that was something that God did with you. Amen. That's why it is called grace. It is called prevenient grace. So when God touches you as a non-believer and makes you a believer, He manifests what theologians called a reality in prevenient grace. God does a unique work in you. So of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what is the reward God wants to bring into our lives? He wants to manifest covenant inside of you so that He can build you into the great things that He has for you. Amen. Because the sons of God will not live like anything in the way in which you and I are living. They will have totally different thought processes. They will have a totally different understanding. They will have a totally different physical makeup, spiritual makeup, personality makeup. It will be a totally different new creation. Are you with me? That's where God is taking us. Now, it is because God is taking us into that reality that you and I can say that every promise in the Bible is yes and amen. Amen? Are you with me? As a matter of principle, you must understand it is yes and amen. It is not based on you. It is based on what Jesus has given you. He is the author and finisher of your faith. And because He is the author and finisher of your faith, it will come to pass. But the only person who can stop it is you. How do you stop it? By taking your focus on the author and finisher of your faith. Because the moment you take your focus off Him, He is no longer working in your life. Because you just asked Him to stop. The moment we start trying to build ministries in our own grandeur, in our own stature, in our own name, the work of God in our lives stops. Now God may still continue to use us. But the work of God in our own personal life has stopped because we have stopped focusing on Jesus Christ. We have started focusing on how grand we look, how anointed we look, how anointed our prayers are. The focus becomes on us, and the faith starts changing. The substance becomes a different kind of substance. Because Lucifer too has got substance. When he does miracles, the Bible calls them false miracles. Why are they called false? Because the substance is of something else. Are you with me? The substance is of something else. The substance is of that which is against God. That's why it is called the spirit of the Antichrist. You either receive of the spirit of Christ or you receive of the spirit of the Antichrist. And the spirit of the Antichrist is of some other kind of substance. Substance that stands in rebellion against God. So that you can meet people in the world who have an actual hatred for Jesus Christ. Can you figure it out? How anybody can hate somebody who came and died for your sins? But there are people who hate the name of Jesus. Why is that so? Because the substance is different. Are you with me? Yeah. They will take you and kill you for saying love your neighbor as yourself. Hello. There are Christians who are being put to death in many parts of the world every day. They're being killed for their faith. They're being imprisoned. Why would you want to imprison someone who preaches that you are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Why? Which logical person will say that is a threat to my nation? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is it a crime? How can you put people like that to death? How can you put people like that behind prison bars? Under what kind of demented system can you take them and put them behind bars? Where it says if someone slaps you on the right, turn your left. But that's what our faith teaches. That's what a relationship with Jesus Christ is all about. Now the reason you and I can turn our cheeks to the right and to the left is because of what the substance of Jesus in us will do. And there are Christian brethren who will do that. Even if they have to lay their life down, they will do that. Why? Because of Jesus alive in them. But there are others who are of a different substance who will kill. Why will they kill? Right? Because the substance is of a different substance. Can you see that? Right? So God is a rewarder of our faith. That faith is based on Him. The reason why it's based on Him is so that the substance will be of Him. But the substance that is of God comes to us in and by and through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the blueprint for a new man. Jesus Christ is a blueprint for a new you. The personality of Jesus, the character of Jesus, the mind of Christ, the heart of Jesus, the witness and testimony of Jesus, the spirit and life of Jesus, the faith and love of Jesus, the righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ before God, the way He obeyed God, the way He listened to God, the way He walked in God's pathways, even though it was not comfortable, the way He was willing to choose death when others opened other doors to Him. We will make you a king. Why don't you come and become a king in our midst? We will fall before you. We will worship you. All we need to do is for you to do signs and wonders the way we want it done. But Jesus Christ said the sign and wonder that is going to make all the difference in the human race is if I go to a cross and be crucified, so that I will be raised from the dead and be manifested as a blueprint for a new human race. And the blueprint for a new human race is in the substance of His fullness. So can you become perfect? Yes. So how does that process start? Very simple, with a word called hope. Yes, Lord, it can be, because the substance of Jesus Christ can make me a perfect new creation. So I set my hope on Jesus. And as long as I set my hope on Jesus and live the life that you have given me, live the ministry that you have given me, live the relationships that you have given me, I will realize the substance of Him that will continuously change me. That's what is happening in our lives. That's why we are changing. But the moment we fix our hope on what we can do, we have lost our way. Because you and I are not the way. He is the way. It's very crucial for us to be able to understand this thinking process. Because that's what the battle is. The devil will always take your focus from Jesus into a religious focus. The devil will always try and focus you on a Christian religion instead of Jesus Christ. And the reason is very simple. Because the moment you focus on a religion, you have lost your way already. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Amen. I am the true vine, you are the branch. What is He saying? The branch has to come out of the vine. It comes out of any other kind of vine, it's of no use. And He says, I am the vine, absolutely, totally, and comprehensively. I am the vine. It cannot be any other kind of vine. There is no other way. Every other way is the way of falsehood, because the substance is not of what God has defined in Himself. Are you listening? So the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, verse 10, He says that in Christ Jesus, you are made complete. In him you are made complete. But before that, it says something that is of such crucial importance to us. Okay, let me just read that. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. What is he telling you? A circumcision made with hands is absolutely useless. Can you understand that? It is absolutely useless. So he says you have to enter into a circumcision made without hands. All right? In the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What is the circumcision of Christ? Christ being formed inside of you. Do you realize that the process of Christ being formed in you can be a painful process? Because your flesh screams. Yeah? But he says, but that's the only way that you can be released from the flesh of your body, or the body of your flesh. Where does all of our weakness come from? From the body of our flesh. Right? The aches and the pains. Right? The passions to overeat, the passions to look at the wrong places, right? To go to the wrong places, to have the wrong thoughts. It all comes out of our flesh. The anger, right? The bitterness, right? The pride, the arrogance. It all comes out of our fleshly nature. But in the circumcision of Christ, God brings into us a new reality. Are you with me? Now let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Philippians is the book before Colossians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. So it says, for we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory at Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Amen? No confidence in the fallen flesh of men. What is your confidence built on? It is built on the substance that is of Jesus Christ. Can you see that? Why? Because you have become a partaker of Christ. Now what are the hallmarks of this circumcision that you worship God in spirit? Are we worshiping God in spirit? Yes, we are. We may not do it perfectly. We may do it with our concentration wavering here and there. But we have all come into the reality of being able to worship God. Amen? Something has happened in our hearts. There actually is a desire in you and me to worship God. Am I right? Praise the Lord. And that is a work of God. Now, we have many imperfections. But there is a desire in us to know God. There is a desire in us to love God. There is a desire in us to belong to God. There is a desire in us to obey God. We are frightened to obey God because, you know, God may ask us to do things that we don't do or can't do. But we know we there is also a part of us that wants to obey God. And what is the Lord saying? If you receive of the substance of Jesus, you will obey God perfectly. Amen? Why? Because that substance is of his nature and his character. That substance is of his will, right? The intents and desires of his heart. If you look at the man Jesus, he had an immense will to do what pleased God. He had an immense love for God. Right? I mean, he ministered the whole day in the outside, and then he decided to pray the whole night through. Now, nobody after a hard day's ministry will do that. And he didn't have air-conditioned circumstances. Right? So why did he pray? He prayed because he loved to pray, because he loved God, and he wanted to be in God's presence, because God's presence gave him pleasure more than anything else. God's presence refreshed him more than anything else in his life. Now, we will go and sit in front of the TV screen. So who is going to change that desire for us to watch movies instead of to pray? Certainly it doesn't exist in us. Now we can force ourselves to pray, but how long are you going to force yourself to pray? Right? There has to be something fundamentally different. So God rewards us with that which is of Jesus Christ. And that which is of Jesus Christ enables us to pray. That which is of Jesus Christ causes us to want to read the Word of God and understand the Word of God. That which is of Jesus Christ causes us to have a desire to glorify the Father. Because in and of ourselves, all we want to do is glorify ourselves. We want to be little gods. Lord, why don't you take 90% and give me 10%? You tithe to me. To do something that is true and perfect to God is not something of ourselves. So God rewards us in enabling us to realize a nature that will one day despise watching TV. Gives us a nature that will despise wasting its time, because time is so precious. Yet it will also give us a nature that will not rush around with our heads chopped off as if the whole world is crashing around us. And we will rest in God, because whatever happens, God is in charge of our lives. Now, we can't cook up these realities. So faith is not make-believe, all right? Very important to understand. Faith is designed to give you an evidence of what God can do in your life. Can you see that? Faith is designed so that you can live and move and have your being in God, so that you can become the blessing that God wants you to become. Faith is not designed for you to become a magician. Faith is designed so that other people can see God through your life. So that other people can see the greatness of God manifested in your life. Go out and find out. Don't you want to see what God does with you? Aren't you tired of your brilliance? I'm totally sick of it. Right? I want to see something that is really awesome. I want to see the beauty of the Lord. I want to see His magnificence. Right? I want to see His nature and character in me. I want to have a different mindset. I want to have a different nature. I want to do things differently. I want to speak differently. I want to relate to people differently. I want to love someone who is unlovable. How do you do that? I want to see God do miracles, right? Through everything that He brings out of my life. I want to see God touch human lives. I want to see God create a new human being, and I want to be a part of that reality. I want to see a human race that is able to look at each other without trying to compete with each other and thinking first, what's in it for me? But just living in the freedom and liberty of the truth and the love of God. Aren't you sick of sin? Aren't you sick of the corruption that we see in this world? People are dying every day. People are being, right? Exploited in so many ways, people are being. It's time for it to stop. We need leadership that leads and is a blessing to people. That comes only from the heart of Jesus. That comes only from the character and nature of Jesus. No matter how good our intents are, it will always fall short. So we have to receive that which is of Jesus Christ. But this is the great reward, Jesus Christ Himself, in you and me. This is the reward of faith, Jesus in you and me. Jesus living in you, Jesus being lived through your life. This is the great reward of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him will have eternal life. That's why it is possible. Because when you receive of the Beloved, you yourself will become the Beloved of the Lord. You yourself will be able to realize the life of God that comes in His character and His nature. And you will be able to do what God wants you to do. You'll be a blessing. We will all be blessings. Praise the Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Son. And Lord, it is an awesome gift You have given us, Lord. It's a gift, O God, that is more personal than anything we know in our human lives, Lord. The gift of Your Son is the ultimate reality that a human being can have, Father. The reality of Him who will fill all in all, in us, amongst us, and through us, uniting us, making us a blessed people. Making us, O God, a blessing in everything that we become, in everything that we do, in thought, word, and in deed. That everything within us, in our intents, attitudes, purposes, imaginations, objects, everything in our character, our nature, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms, in spirit, soul, and body, will be entirely, O God, of the fullness of Jesus Christ, an entirely new reality. We want to bless You, Father. We thank You that the reward that You mean to give us is Jesus. What an awesome reality, Lord. What an amazing blessing, Father. That, Lord, if we were to sit down and put our hearts together, we could never come up with anything that even begins to compare with the glorious wonder of the Son who is the Beloved. So we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, in Him you have given us position, in Him you have given us a calling, in Him you have given us an eternal and abiding purpose. In Him you have made us sons of God. In Him you have made us priests, Father. In Him, O God, we become kings, O God, and He is our King, Lord. So we ask you to enable us to realize Him as our Lord and our King, so that He will fill everything in us, amongst us, and through us, so that everything that comes forth from our lives will proclaim Him, Lord. We see the potentials of all this, Father, as we set our hope on Him, that our faith can see, O God, the reality of that hope manifesting in a substance that will unveil the evidence of a new creation. We will be a new creation fashioned and formed in Jesus Christ. We will be a blessing on the face of the earth. We will become true sons unto you. We will become an awesome expression, O God, of your great love. That the counsels of your will be alive in our hearts and expressed through our lives. It will come to forth. It will come forth. That we will be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. It will come forth. And Lord, as we set our hope on Jesus, we know that all these things are already in motion over our lives. That the Holy Spirit is with us, He is in us, in order to enable us to realize all of these that are impossible for the human race to conceptualize in and of ourselves. This is the mystery of Christ. Release that mystery with revelation knowledge into our hearts. And in that revelation knowledge, build us in an intimacy of Him who is called to be the Beloved. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And now you understand why the communion passage tells us that Jesus Christ is the Passover. The Passover Lamb to take us from out of the darkness of the world into the fullness that God has for us. And that fullness is going to be manifested through this witness and the substance of that witness that Jesus Christ tells us, expresses for us through the cross. So look at the verse 15, Luke 22 verse 15. And when he said to them, then he said to them with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Ultimately, brethren, you and I can become what God wants to make us simply because of this fervent desire. He had fervent desire to see this Passover fulfilled in your life and my life. It will come to pass. As long as you and I understand that this fervent desire our Master has over our life, it is personal to me, it is personal to you, it is personal forever. And that fervent desire cannot fail. Because that fervent desire overcame death. That fervent desire overcame all of our wickedness. It cannot fail. Amen. So in your Christian life, in your Christian walk, set your heart on Jesus and let the Holy Spirit do the necessary work. You may not understand what God is taking you through, but you don't have to understand, brethren. It's time for us to just rest in the Lord. Lord, as long as you understand, that's fine with me. If I can understand it, I'm thankful. If I don't understand it, it doesn't really matter because I know you are in charge and you can do with me what I can never do. Amen? So that's the key. And so what does it say? Right? That this Passover will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Amen? For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is being fulfilled in us, amongst us, and through us. When the Pharisees asked Jesus in Luke 17, verse 20, 21, 22, round about there, how is your kingdom going to come about? Jesus said, it is not going to come about with signs to be observed. It is going to be manifested in you and amongst you. Praise the Lord. So we are a community of believers and we want to see Jesus manifested in our lives. We want to see the kingdom of God unveil not just within us but amongst us, right? Because in us we are so small. Amongst us we are huge. Amongst us as a church across the world and in the heavenly places, it's a huge temple, guys. That's what we want to see. Amen? Do you understand how important it is for us to rise above the personal and see the body of Christ? Because that's when the glory will truly manifest. So it's time for us to give up all those personal agendas that we all have. You have them, I have them. It is time for us to nail those personal agendas on the cross and say, Lord, you circumcise my heart and remove all of those personal agendas. Let me be a blessing. Let me be content to be part of this awesome reality that is the body of Christ. Amen. And what is the body of Christ? The fullness of Him who fills all in all. Praise the Lord. So that's what we are celebrating in Holy Communion. That the substance and the witness of Jesus will be manifested in us. So the bread represents the substance. The cup represents the witness. Praise the Lord. And it's speaking that in the manifestation of the bread and the manifestation in the manifestation of the witness of the cup, we will pass over into a new reality. We will become a new creation. Isn't that wonderful? Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for the reality of this Passover meant for each one of us in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for what you are achieving in each one of our lives. You are our Lord, you are our Savior, you are our Beloved. You have loved us with an everlasting love, Holy Father. And you have expressed that love to us in a person who is Jesus Christ, a person who contains, O God, all that you have for us, Lord. And Lord, Him we receive. And we celebrate, O God, this communion, O God, to celebrate the Passover, to celebrate, O God, the sacrifice of the Lamb in our lives, to receive of His fullness, to realize of His witness, to declare, O God, that in His substance and in His witness, we will become, O God, the creation that you want us to be. That in His substance and in His witness, you are rewarding us with the eternal and the abiding. You are rewarding us in a new character and a new nature. You are rewarding us in a new thinking process. You are rewarding us with the mind of Christ. You are rewarding us with a testimony. You are rewarding us, O God, with a witness, O God. You are rewarding us in His spirit. You are rewarding us in His life. You are rewarding us in His faith. You are rewarding us in His love, O God. You are rewarding us in His holiness unto you, Father. And Lord, it is much more than that, Lord. And we don't have the words to understand the mystery of Christ. But the little that we understand, we give you glory for, Father. So bless and sanctify, therefore, these elements of the bread and wine, for they are prophetic, O Lord, of all that you have given us in the substance and witness of Jesus Christ. And for this we are thankful. For this, O God, we bow before you and worship you. For you are our God, and there is none besides you. So bless and sanctify, therefore, these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us prophetically by the Holy Spirit, the unveiling, O God, of the fullness of Jesus Christ through the Word into our being, so that, Lord, all that you have intended in your precious Son will be fulfilled in us and amongst us as the body of Christ across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile. Amen. Brethren, it's so important for us to understand that everything that comes alive to us is in the merits of the Lamb. Don't look at your weaknesses. Don't look at what you can do or what you cannot do. Look at what God can do with you. Look at what God can bring into your life as he rewards you with Jesus Christ, as He rewards you with His character and His nature. You have to persevere with Jesus. You have to persevere with what God has for you. Because that's where the spiritual warfare is, in the knowledge of God that comes to you in the substance and witness of Jesus Christ. So persevere with us, with it, and don't turn away. Don't look for the easy way. There are no other ways. There's only one way. And that way is Jesus alive in us. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the living bread that came down out of heaven. Of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you worship, we give you praise for the substance of that realization that is going to make us, O God, a new creation. Because in that substance, there is the reward of Him through whom all things are possible, Lord. So we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And He strengthens us in His substance. We thank you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the cup poured out for us in a living witness in spirit, water and blood. And in that witness, we will be enabled to realize every practical reality that you have for us, O God, in Jesus Christ. We will be able to literally do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And in the substance and witness of Jesus Christ, we will realize that all things we ask in Jesus' name will be made manifest. We thank you that in his substance and in his witness, his name is made alive in us as a living covenant testimony, Lord. We bless you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.